Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. Thank you for joining me, and I have a great episode for you. I always say it's a great episode because I strive for a great episode, but I guess I really can't tell because I do these off the cuff, so it's not like I'm, you know, I wrote everything out. I basically just talk from the top of my head, but I strive for a great episode, but I do know the topics I'm going to talk about. Got a couple of movie reviews coming up, and probably one of the hardest movie reviews I'm going to have to do this year. So we're going to be doing that one pretty soon. And then a movie review that won't be so hard. But that's all coming up. I'm going to take a look at Christopher Robin, the new Walt Disney movie, basically with the Winnie the Pooh cast and Ewan McGregor taking on the lore of Winnie the Pooh and stuff. And I'm also going to take a look at Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I went with a friend to see it, and I will be reviewing that also later on. I'll also take a look at some of the new Oscar rules, and although I'm not the biggest fan of the Academy Awards, and I've talked about it in the past, why I used to be a super fan, and then I stopped being a fan. I don't even watch it anymore. I sometimes just watch the monologues, and that's it. But they've made some real questionable changes, and some I think are pretty good, and one of them is absolutely the death knell, I think, of the Academy Awards for anybody who takes it real serious. And I know there's most people don't anymore, but there are a lot of people who still take it serious, but they've basically made one change that is going to alter Academy Awards for history, and not necessarily in a good way, but we'll get to that. But first I'm going to talk about something that actually has been on my mind for a little while now, but it escalated recently when I saw an article about talking about cliffhangers and movies and TV shows that, you know, use cliffhangers. And geez, ever since I watched movies and TVs and, you know, watched TV and read books and watched soap operas, cliffhangers have always been used in order to, you know, get people to tune in the next week. Or, you know, I was brought up with soap operas from like Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, Coronation Street. I don't watch them as much anymore. But every once in a while, I'll put Coronation Street on because it's like a comfort food for me. But recently, I saw an article about the Avengers Infinity War, and I gave my review about it. I was a big fan of it. And a person just really didn't like it, and one of the things they complained about was the use of cliffhangers, that they actually had to wait a year until we find out what happened to many of the characters. And there's no spoilers here, I won't. But there's a lot of characters' lives in jeopardy. And this person has every right to their opinion. If they didn't enjoy the movie and stuff like that, that's fine. But something angered me in the comments, and I know you're not supposed to look at the comments, but it angered me because this has been said multiple times, so I'm not just like putting my anger towards the person who said this. And of course, I'm not going to name names or anything. But in talking about cliffhangers, somebody mentioned that cliffhangers don't fly in this binge-watching world that we live in now. They don't really work. Now, I started noticing people were starting to complain a lot about cliffhangers with The Walking Dead. Because a couple of times they gave us cliffhangers that were kind of false. And so people were starting to complain about, you know, how they use cliffhangers too much. And I couldn't believe the backlash I saw for The Walking Dead. And then I noticed that it became more and more common for people to be complaining about cliffhangers. As I said, ever since I started indulging in pop culture when I was a kid, there's always been cliffhangers. I'm sure in books, there's cliffhangers. Soap operas, as I said. So, you know, now it's coming to big screen movies where, you know, there's always like hints of there's a cliffhanger, but a couple times movies have given us cliffhangers. Empire Strikes Back, a perfect example of a movie that blatantly says you have to wait 3 years to get a resolve. And you know what? Yeah, we were upset by it because we had to wait so long, but we did. And then when Return of the Jedi came, we got to see what happened, and some people were happy, some people weren't, but that's just the way it was. But what I'm mostly talking about now is this world of instant gratification, which I actually have talked about how I understand how binge watching has become the norm and that people can watch at their own leisure. But I still feel, and I'm going to stand by my ground, that you're still not getting the whole, you're not getting what the entertainment value is. Because, you know, I remember, you know, when we didn't have the internet and stuff, you'd watch a TV show and it would, you know, like say like a Dynasty or a Dallas, and they would like end. And then you had a whole week to process what you just saw. Or in some cases, you know, you had to wait a whole summer to see what the next season would bring. And then, of course, soap operas use this all the time. And, you know, so I don't understand. I think it's a viable tool that has been used in, like, novels. And you know, even back to, the, like, you know, the old days of the movie serials that I love to play on Mondo Nostalgia, where you'd basically come in each week and, you know, at the theater, it would end with, like, Flash Gordon was there. And, you know, there was an explosion and it would be, come to the theater next week to see it. Why did they put it? Because people wanted to see it. And so they'd come back next week. Even if it was a movie they didn't want to see, they wanted to pay their 5 or 10 cents to see if Flash Gordon survived the explosion. And, of course, you knew he was going to, but you were still interested in it. I'm sure cliffhangers were used all the time on, like, movie radio serials. And so now they're starting to creep in on superhero movies. Now, superhero movies are incredible because they weren't around a lot when I was a kid. You were lucky, you know, when Superman the movie came out, you know, it was amazing because we didn't have a new superhero movie every other week. So, and even growing up with the Batman, with the Tim Burtons and X-Men, we were still just getting them here and there. Now we get, you know, superhero movies all the time. And to be honest with you, the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe has used cliffhangers to their extent. Now, they haven't used them in a way of, like, they've had movies that wrap up and, you know, you get a beginning, a middle, and an end. But then at the end, you know, you stay after the credits, there was always, like, a little hint of, like, oh, that's the next movie. I'm excited for it, you know? So in some ways, it's a cliffhanger, but it's more of a perk. But now as the universe is growing, Infinity War is a huge cliffhanger. You're not going to get resolve, so you have to wait 1 year. And that's the one thing I liked about this. And, you know, for somebody who had to wait 3 years for, like, you know, finding out, you know, what was happening in Empire Strikes Back, and we waited 3 years for, you know, Star Wars movies, we're now at the point now that, you know, we hear 1 year we have to wait, and then we're already freaking out. Instant gratification is something that is becoming horrible. It's not only just with cliffhangers, but I agree. You know, if you want to see what happens next on The Walking Dead, then just don't watch a couple seasons and then watch them all at once, and then you get the gratification. I also don't think you're getting the full story because you're watching so much of it. You're not even getting time to process anything. But we do this with text messaging too. You know, I come from a generation where, you know, you used to call people or write letters and stuff. So we had the patience. Now we don't. You text message somebody, and if they don't text message you back, and I'm guilty of this, they don't text message you back in a couple of hours or a couple of minutes, depending on who the person is, you just freak. Your mind starts playing tricks with you and stuff. So now when people say they don't want cliffhangers anymore, it's ridiculous. Cliffhangers have been used through the whole era of, like, pop culture. And the funny thing is I was praising that the superhero has now become a genre of its own. You go into, like, Cinema One, and It's like drama films, horror films, superhero films. They used to fall under adventure or action and stuff, but now they're their own thing. Even Walmart has a superhero section that you can go to. So we have actually lived through a place where we now have a new genre of movies because we just get so many of them. But what's funny is how now Marvel's decided let's actually use cliffhangers. And it's interesting because, the Infinity War cliffhanger affects other movies too coming up. And so everybody's just on the edge of their seats, but I can see why some people are upset. But the funny thing is comic books use cliffhangers. In fact, I gave up comic books because of the fact that I didn't mind waiting a month after reading like a comic book, and then you'd find out like, oh, okay, I gotta wait till next month to find out what's happening. I didn't mind that at all. What I did mind, though, was that when they started, like, the conclusion of this story will be in another comic altogether. So now I had to go and buy another comic that I didn't follow in order to get the wrap up of the story because they had a crossover and stuff. And around the 90s and so, when I started sort of collecting comics, I wasn't a big collector, but I did collect some. It was irritating when I'd have to like follow a story for 5 episodes or issues, and then I had to go and buy like a comic I have no interest in because the resolution is in that one because they were cross-pollinating it. But what I can't stand is I can't believe that we are killing an art form because people can't stand to have cliffhangers. I can't believe I actually read people are upset because we are now binge-watching generations that we can't sit and watch what's going to happen. We need answers immediately. Well, there's only one way you can do that with a TV show. Wait till the show gets canceled, then watch it all in one big lump because you still have to wait. Game of Thrones is probably the most loved series right now, and look how long you have to wait for that. And yes, people probably complain about it, but you have to wait, so wait. But it just infuriates me that we already do so many things to ruin the art of storytelling. Like, I can't see anybody saying that who has never been like an artist as far as like writing novels or making films, because yes, you can make self-contained movies. There's tons out there. You can make even series that are self-contained in each season is something a little different. But the whole art of cliffhangers have been used for ages. And I can't believe that, you could not respect that. It's not just it's for storyline purposes. Not only just to bring you back. Now, its number one focus is yes, to make sure you are back next week or next month or next year to see what happens to these beloved characters. But sometimes a storyline can't be wrapped up in a season. Some of these seasons on TV are shorter seasons. So, in order to get the full effect, you carry it on to the next season in order to do that. So you don't feel like you get gypped. The truth of the matter is we're instant gratification crazy. We need to get our fixes immediately. I had to wait 3 years for Star Wars movies, and the fact that people are complaining that they have to wait a year to find out about Infinity War, it's ridiculous. You still got like 3 movies from the Marvel Universe coming in that time. So you're still going to see some stuff from it. So, and what's the problem? You're binge watching other stuff. Now, movies are like a checklist. It's not even a. I don't even think people really cherish the movies enough. I see people watching like big screen epics on their little phone, and that's the first time they're watching it. I've been to people's houses that they put movies on, and I can't believe like I'm sitting there invested in the movie, and these people are answering phones, doing texts, they're going off making popcorn, getting snacks and stuff. They're not even giving full attention to it. And like, yes, this is the new way that people are watching movies. But you can't really call yourself a movie lover or a movie aficionado if you're not giving any kind of attention to the movie. You can watch a movie on streaming, I'm not saying, But pause it if you get a phone call. If you're doing other things while you're watching this movie, you're not giving it your full attention. So when you see a movie that people love, and then you watch and say, "Well, I didn't love it that much," and then you go and realize that you were off, I made drinks all of a sudden. I decided I wanted a mixed drink or something. Didn't stop it because, I didn't want to, it's a long movie. I didn't want to pause it or something like that. Binge watching is a luxury that now is taking away from so much. And we don't even get time to process this. We don't even get time to talk about it with people. There used to be a time that, we'd watch the latest episode of a show. I remember, Desperate Housewives would be on. And then the next day you'd go to work and you'd talk to all your friends about, "Did you watch Desperate Housewives?" Now you can't do that because of the fact that some people didn't watch it. Some people programmed it to watch later. Some people are going to wait till the season's done so they can binge watch it. So now we have to watch out for spoilers and stuff. I don't know. There's something to be said. Yes. We're a spoiled community, and we are a spoiled world now that everything we want can be just at our fingertips. But there was something to be said when people enjoyed things as a whole in a nation. I think there were more cherished movies and TV shows because we actually took the time to, talk about it, analyze it a bit more. Yes, you can still talk about, okay, I've caught up on Dexter, so we can now talk up till season five. But it doesn't have the same impact when you're talking to someone who has seen the rest of the season already and you haven't been up to it yet. I just needed to vent because I can't believe, yes, I know we're watching things differently now and stuff, but I'm someone who still respects the art form, and I don't care if that art form is books or comics or movies, TV, whatever. Yes, cliffhangers are a pain in the ass, but they are part of our culture. They always have been, and you need to deal with the fact that sometimes they are going to use that, and it is a perfectly viable way to write a story. It's been used ages and it's been used properly. So get with the program, and if you see a cliffhanger, avoid movies that have cliffhangers if that's the way it is. You go into a movie like Avengers Infinity War, there's going to be cliffhangers. There is going to be a cliffhanger, especially since they announce years before that the Avengers War, Infinity War is going to be into two parts. If you really don't want a cliffhanger, avoid spoilers and watch it just before the second one comes out. But anyhow, I could go on and on about this whole binge watching generation, but when I start seeing that we're like, no, you can't do cliffhangers anymore. You can't play with the audience because we need answers right away, and then people just turn their backs on quality shows because of the fact that they're just not getting the answers. Well, that's your right, and go and do that. But it's really a sad share for the art form. And so, yeah, that being said, I'm going to wrap it up there. But we need to get our heads out of our asses and realize that, yeah, no, not everything is going to be instant gratification, and we need to respect art forms that do still use cliffhangers. And even me, I've got to learn that sometimes when I text people or message people, that I might not get a message for a couple of hours or days or weeks even, and I've got to deal with that too. But we are so screwing up society in so many ways, and yeah, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in 20, 30 years. I'm just kind of happy I probably won't be around to see it, just because of my age and stuff. So, and this is not just me being bitter. This is me being an artist. And because I do role playing and stuff, cliffhangers are something I always use. It gets people excited. But now apparently it doesn't. It just infuriates people because we need instant gratification. Anyhow, I'm turning my topic to a probably one of the hardest movie reviews I'm going to have to do. It's a movie, even when the trailers came out, when I heard the premise of Christopher Robin, basically Ewan McGregor plays a grown-up Christopher Robin whose life is kind of going pear-shaped, and he basically is brought back to the Hundred Acre Woods, where his old friends Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore, Piglet, all the old faves are back, try to help him through life. I kind of didn't know exactly what to expect. Then the first trailers hit, and I remember I could barely get through the trailers without misty eyes because it just looks so sweet. I knew I was going to have trouble with this movie, but when I went to go see Christopher Robin, it was worse than I thought it would be. And when I say worse, I'm not saying the movie itself. I actually liked the movie a lot. I'm still not sure who they want this movie for. But I absolutely love the movie, but it put me in a weird emotional state. I'm actually recording this the day after I seen it, and I'm still a bundle of nerves because of this movie. First of all, I'll tell you why I liked it so much. It's a really sweet movie. It's got a lot of magic in it. I read a lot of early reviews, and a lot of people said it's not really magical, but I got that. What you should know is that it's a sad movie. It's a very sad movie. And even though there's happy bits all the way through it, it has a tone of sadness. I went with some of my friends and I talked to a couple of them afterwards, and we all had a weird tone of sadness to it. I still think visually, it looked incredible. They did a great job. I think Ewan McGregor's performance was awesome. I think all the other actors did a great job too, and the director had a really hard job, but I think he found it. And what I liked about it was that he kept the movie grounded. When they do kids movies now, a lot of times they pander to a younger audience, but Disney's got it down to a science thanks to Pixar and stuff. It's almost like they work with psychiatrists now to find. I understand why people always claim, oh, social justice warriors, because they do take their time with stuff like this, and they don't try to add like a lot of stuff. Like there were moments. The only problem I had with Christopher Robin were when the animals aren't on screen, they literally try to do some of these British buffoonery kind of comedy, you know, people dropping briefcases or people falling and stuff. And I didn't like that. And when I was at the theater, there was a lot of young kids there, and there was a lot of talking in the young kids, because this movie deals with adult themes. Even though it's Winnie the Pooh and his family, there is a darkness in this thing that I don't know if this was made for kids or if it was made for adults, because I enjoyed the film, but I think it kind of fails on both. One, because they try to put in enough stuff for kids. I think Pixar handles this stuff even better, even though I think Pixar has become a little heavy-handed in that. But I think they could have done a better job if they talked to Pixar a bit. And I love this movie. And if you go into it with the right state of mind, I did not go into this with the right state of mind, and I still love the movie. But as I said, I didn't like the moments where when the animals weren't on. But this deals with a lot of, like, the Winnie the Pooh characters have a lot of psychological issues. In fact, somebody has said that each of the characters are basically, you know, like Winnie the Pooh is just a very simple-minded person, and Piglet's got, like, you know, courage issues and image issues, and Eeyore's depressed all the time, and Tigger's, like, always has to be on the go, you know, and Rabbit's got OCD. OCD? I think that's right. Anyhow, all the characters have, like, psychological issues. And so they deal with all that here, you know, and especially with Eeyore. I think they even do it a little bit too much. Eeyore's depression is almost played up a little too jokey at times, like even when there's talk of him committing suicide without actually saying the word suicide. I was really surprised by it, like, because there's little kids, you know, hey, Winnie the Pooh, and there's Eeyore talking about, like, oh, well, if I, you know, fall down this waterfall, nobody's going to miss me and stuff like that. And it's really dark. There's even moments where you start realizing that Christopher Robin grown up is, you know, secretly destroying the Hundred Acre Woods in his mind. Now, that's a bit of a spoiler, but I won't tell you how they do it. But basically, you know, he's growing up, and the more stress and pressure he's gotten, the more he neglects his wife and daughter. You know, you start seeing that his imagination's dying, so these characters in their own way are disappearing and dying in their own way. So we're talking dark themes. So this doesn't just reek of going out for a kid's family, you know, function for this. And then for adults, though, there is so much buffoonery of it that I can see why some adults just say it's not really magical. One thing I do have to say that I'm surprised at is that they did, this is a period piece. Christopher Aubin, even when he grows up, he's somewhere in the like 40s or the 50s or 60s or something. They won't really classify it. But I guess when I saw the trailers, I never really wrote into it. I thought it was actually going to be in present day. And then I realized that you couldn't really set this in present day because I don't think a lot of the nostalgia would translate. I like to see young kids, and I love watching them play with toys and stuff, but I also see a lot of grown-up kids that don't really have any nostalgia feels, and I think they do, but it's a different sort. So I don't think you could have done it in present day because I just don't think it would fly. Now, the reason I had problems, and I'm going to go personally into it because, you know, my fans tell me they like when I go deeper into it. The problem I have with Winnie the Pooh, and I don't have a problem with him, it's just I've always seen comparisons to me and Winnie the Pooh. And there's a running joke with my friends that my partner Mike, a lot of people say he's kind of like Eeyore. But I've always said he's more like Piglet. And I really saw that in this. I really saw, because Piglet's the one who always, you know, when Pooh's not feeling up to his best, Piglet's the one. There's even a line in it, and I'm starting to tear up because I cried all the way through this movie, is where Piglet says, "Well, I'll keep feeding you tea and honey until you feel like yourself again." And that is exactly what Michael's like. Michael's not the depressed Eeyore type thing. I'm more depressed than Michael is. So, you know, the whole fact that he's definitely Piglet in this, and I really saw it in this. The hard part for me in this is I've always related to Winnie the Pooh in some ways, because I always have felt left behind. I've talked about it before, how people leave me, and how I'm always afraid that people will leave me. And I've had enough heartbreak to deal with it. So I get the Winnie the Pooh things. But what I saw is when I was watching this movie as a thing, this Winnie the Pooh is literally, I saw how the world sees me. And I think a lot of people think of me as Winnie the Pooh. I'm pretty positive. I have a big heart. I do have depressed moments where I don't feel like myself. Winnie the Pooh often has comments about how he just doesn't feel like himself today and stuff. You know, he lets things happen to him rather than go out and doing them. I have mentioned many times that a lot of the successes I've had with improv and performing, yeah, I've had to work for them, but a lot of them came to me and fell into my lap. I didn't work for it. And then the big one that I'm starting to deal with, and this is one I have to get my head around, is the fact that people perceive me as, because I've only lived in one town for most of my life. I did live in Pembroke and Kingston and Germany even for a bit at Lahr, Germany. But I was a kid for those, so I don't remember much of those. But a lot of people see me as, well, you don't know the world, and you're simplistic, and you have a big heart, but you don't know how the world works. And then once you talk to Pooh, you realize that his simplistic form, yeah, he does know how people work. Pooh comes up with understanding Eeyore, understanding Tigger, understanding Kangaroo, you know, all the different characters. So that was the hardest part. And I've been left behind so many times that there are scenes that were just, when we talked about this movie afterwards, Mike actually teared up a bit. And Mike doesn't tear up easily. Not like me, where I can see like wind blowing a leaf and it'll take me someplace and I'll tear up and cry now. But Mike said that the hardest part of this movie is, not only is this movie sad, but he knew that it was tearing me up inside. Because he's been there when people have left me or are just, and there's a scene where when Christopher Robin leaves, Winnie the Pooh every day goes to the door that Christopher Robin left, and he just stays there waiting. And then one day Piglet comes and just takes Winnie's hand and just takes him from the door and goes to give him tea and honey, and that is so Mike, and I have been in situations like that, and it just ripped my heart out watching this. I like the movie a lot, and I probably will watch it again, but I don't know if I'd be watching it for, the humor's sake or shits and giggles. This movie devastated me. That's why I said it's so hard to talk to me. It didn't depress me. As I said, I've been doing new ways of thinking things. It didn't even really make me blue, but it made me a little funky. But Mike, I'll wrap it up with saying that Mike actually made me feel wonderful because I told him that. Well, before I get to that, in the movie, Winnie the Pooh gets obsessed with this balloon. He wants a balloon. And just the week before, I had a get together where we had decorations, and I told Mike, all I want is a balloon. All I want is a balloon. And I finally got my balloon. I got three of them, actually. And when that played out, when Winnie the Pooh was obsessed with the balloon, I looked over at Mike, and Mike was like, yeah, that was you. And so I really realized how much I am like Winnie the Pooh. And it bothered me a little. And then as Mike was, we were getting ready for bed, and Mike told me, there are worse things that people could perceive you as. It's actually kind of sweet that people think of you as Winnie the Pooh, because Winnie the Pooh has a big, beautiful heart. He is simplistic, but he cares about people, and he gets hurt because of that. And it might take him a little longer, and he gives people longer chances. And I thanked Mike, gave him a great big hug, and told him thank you, because he reminded me that Winnie the Pooh is, yeah, absolutely. So I'm embracing my Winnie the Pooh, and I'm like basically going, I've even read like analysis of, there's been lots of books of like the Tao of Pooh and, how Pooh deals with things in life. And I've actually, today, I actually spent time looking at that, thinking, okay, maybe if I embrace my inner Winnie the Pooh, maybe that will bring me to a better understanding of there's nothing wrong with people seeing you as Winnie the Pooh. And yeah, so this was a tough movie, but do I recommend it? I recommend it if you're a sentimental person, if you like cried at Toy Story 3, or you probably get a lot out of this movie. As for taking kids, you know your kids better than anyone. And so I don't know, I would check it out first and then decide, because yeah, they want to see the animals you walk and talk and stuff, but there are so many sad and dark things in this movie that, and I'm not saying horror or anything like that, but just talk of depression and sadness and stuff. I don't know if really young kids will really enjoy it, but you know your kids. I'd say check it out first and thing. So I give it a high rating. I'm going to give it, as I said, I didn't like some of the things Disney did. Mostly the, when the animals weren't on, they had to make the British people look like buffoons and do like these, pratfalls and knocking things down, which I didn't like. I also had some trouble with the ending of this movie. And so for that, I think I'd give Christopher Robin a 4 out of 5. Anyhow, I'm going to take a short break so I can get some Kleenex, and I'm going to talk about another family movie when we come back. One that your kids probably will enjoy, Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And then I'll talk about some of the new Oscar changes coming up, and I'll be right back right after this.
We have your favorite drink as well. Just ask and we will pour it. And popcorn hot and crisp and fresh, the youngsters all adore it. So visit our refreshment bar, you'll find it mighty handy. We've loads of things so good to eat, all kinds of gum and candy. But don't forget your Armour Franks, for taste and for nutrition. Come eat this finest hot dog made, enjoy this intermission.
Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome back to the Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. And we've got another movie review coming up for you. Sometimes I stumble into going to movies. That's how you know I'm a real movie fan, because sometimes I go to movies even if I don't really relate to them or anything. But this movie is in theaters now. I'd go see it soon, because I don't think it'll be around for too much longer, but that means it'll be on streaming or on DVD soon. It's Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Now, this is the show based on the cartoon show that was out a few years ago that ran for quite a while. I knew of this show, but I honestly can say that I probably only saw maybe half an episode one time. I was in a hotel room and I saw Teen Titans Go, and I decided, I'll give it a shot. I think I watched about 15 minutes of it, and that's all I could really handle of it. But I could understand why kids would probably enjoy it. It's loud, it's obnoxious, and I know it's not made for somebody my age. Now, that being said, I keep in mind the fact that there's a lot of kids stuff that I actually really enjoy. And I hate to say it, but this is not one of those things. A friend of mine really wanted to see this movie, and it was only playing in an isolated area. And I decided to, embrace my inner Winnie the Pooh, and decided, well, he probably wants someone to go with him. So I had nothing planned that day, and I noticed there was a matinee, and it was going to be a little bit cheaper, and so I decided, what the heck, I'm going to, go to the movie with him. And so he got to see it on the big screen, and just for the fact that he was happy he had somebody there with him, kind of made it a nice day, and I got to catch up with him and all that. And, he's a big fan of the show, so he really wanted to see this movie. And I had two people asking me to go to this movie. I guess people just assume, because I like superheroes, that I might have been a Teen Titan Go fan. But as I said, I tried to watch one episode, and I don't usually give up on a show after one episode, but I couldn't even get through a full episode. So it's not been a show I really wanted, but I thought, I've been to several movies that were animated series that turned out to be amazing. I remember that when I saw South Park on the big screen, that was absolutely amazing when they had their movie. I remember seeing The Simpsons movie, and I wasn't watching The Simpsons anymore because I just had too much Simpsons, but I went to their movie and was pleasantly surprised at how good it was. So I thought, well, maybe they're going to step it up, and maybe it will keep me interested for about 15 minutes. But as I said, this movie isn't made for me. It's loosely based on the Teen Titans characters, like Robin and Raven and Beast Girl and Cyborg, stuff like that. And if you're a fan of the show, then you don't need me to tell you what it's about, because you probably know it. You've probably even seen this movie already. Anyhow, I can't say I've become a fan of it since I came. I did chuckle a few times, but when we're talking about chuckling, I'm not talking laugh out loud, just little under my breath kind of chuckles. I could not get into this movie, and I certainly saw the kids more invested in this than the ones that were at Christopher Robin. So this was obviously, hitting the audience it was trying to get. So when I give my review for this movie, keep in mind that I'm probably not the person to get a review from, because I'm not a fan of the source material. It's just basically the Teen Titans, Go characters. It's a parody on everybody has a superhero movie out except them. And so they try everything to get this woman, Jade, I believe her name is, and to get a movie made. And she's the one making all the Superman movies, all the Batman movies. And, there's a couple of little fun, nods to Hollywood and stuff. But unfortunately, not enough to keep me invested. In fact, there were times that I wasn't actually going to get popcorn through this. I was going to be good and say, I really should lose some weight. I'm glad I did get popcorn, because it kept me busy, because there were times I was just so bored in this movie. And again, don't take that for the movie. This movie just wasn't made for me and my, I'm not even going to say my demographic, because I know, critics say that, but the truth of the matter is I know a lot of older people that like this movie. The guy I went with was, you know, younger than me, but older than probably the teens that it was written for, and he had a lot of fun with it. I just found that the satire could have been a lot better. I found that there were so many annoying, like, good God, aren't we funny kind of moments that really put me off. And, you know, they do a couple of songs that, you know, it's funny, they do this song that's kind of like the awesome feel-good song, and they make this parody of music videos. And I kept thinking through it, didn't they do something like this on an episode, the episode that I watched half of? Like, I could have remembered that Cyborg had a tape and that it had played this 80s awesome song. And it kind of, as I said, I turned off the show halfway through because I couldn't get into it. And I couldn't help but thinking that there's a moment in this, and I go, is that like a do they do that often in the thing? But, you know, as I said, the kids were laughing at all the fart jokes and stuff. And it takes a lot to get a good fart joke to make me laugh. You know, I'm not an old prude. You know, I was there for the Blazing Saddles when they, you know, the first fart joke ever hit the screen. But at the same time, I just kept reminding myself, this isn't for you, Don. This isn't for you. But, you know, there were moments that I said were kind of interesting. Visually, I think it was like the one problem with bringing stuff that's on the TV screen to the big screen is like they did it right with like the Peanuts movie because they went to three dimensions and seeing the Peanuts character in 3D were absolutely really cool. But sometimes it doesn't translate. I know with South Park it was odd seeing it, but oddly it did translate well. This just looked like the annoying show I saw on the thing on the big screen, and you know, there was no attempt to make it like any kind of like depth in it or anything like that. They did try to do some sentimental stuff. I'm not sure if the show does that, but I found that as soon as they tried to do something sentimental, they were right back to being annoying again. And that really just pissed me off because it's like they can't even sit back and enjoy, you know, doing something sentimental, you know, all of a sudden they were. And the friendship, I didn't see any real friendship or loyalty in this team. You know, I think they tried to play it a couple of times, but again, as soon as they get there, they would just become annoying again. The action sequences were just big, obnoxious, but as I said, the kids that were in the audience and, you know, some of their parents were smiling and laughing too, so I'm not the perfect person to review this, so, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm a cinema snob. You know, I've seen some movies that I'm embarrassed to say that I paid to see, and I absolutely love them, but this is not one of them. I would have to give Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I'll be generous and give it a 1 out of 5. I was going to go half a star, but I'll give them 1 because they did make me chuckle a few times. And so I'll be generous today. I'll be Winnie the Pooh generous and give it a 1 out of 5. But that being said, definitely, if your kids are into this stuff, or if you're secretly into this stuff and just want to drag your kids as an excuse, definitely go check it out. Don't check out my review for it, because as I said, this movie was not made for me, and I'm kind of glad for that. Anyhow, the Oscars. You know I have a love-hate relationship with the Academy Awards, and, you know, so you don't have to go back and listen, but please do if you want to. I've talked about it before. When I was a kid, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of what my life with the Oscars is. When I was a kid, I was a movie fan, and I went to go see Star Wars, which is the movie that got my love for movies going. When Star Wars was actually, here's a fun fact, up for a Best Picture nomination, back in the day when they would nominate, you know, movies that were popular and realized that they were actually good too, my parents let me stay up for the Oscars, and because I had no problems getting up the next morning, every year for the Oscars, I would get to stay up and watch it, and I became a big Oscar fan, and Oscar night was big for me. And we were talking about like a 9-year-old here, who suddenly the Oscars were like everything to him, and I love the Oscars. I even got to the point where I would actually book in to come late at work, or sometimes I would call in sick just so I could watch the nominations, because I was just such a big movie fan. But around the time when Brokeback Mountain was nominated, one of my all-time favorite movies, I saw a lot of the older Academy voters saying that they would not nominate this forever. So it got nominated for Best Picture, wound up winning Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Score, and then when it looked like Brokeback Mountain was going to make movie history, it was announced that Crash won, and Brokeback Mountain didn't win, and there was suddenly this Hollywood backlash that a lot of older members just weren't going to give Brokeback Mountain the love, and some claimed they didn't even watch it. And that's when I decided that was the end. I almost had a blew a gasket that night, you know, because I knew how important it would be that Brokeback Mountain would win Best Picture, because it would have been, you know, a major motion picture about a gay romance. And sadly, it didn't happen. And I stopped watching the Oscars. I'd be like most people. The next morning, I'd see who won, and no big deal. A couple of years after that, they changed their nod for, you know, five nominations to this new mathematical strategy that there could be up to 10 Best Picture nominees. Now, I hadn't been watching at that time. As I said, the only thing I would do is I'd watch some of the red carpet stuff, because I liked still seeing the Hollywood glamour. And then I would also watch maybe the open monologue or the little tribute they'd always have to the movies that were nominated. But when they went to more than five Best Picture nods, I was happy I had left it, because suddenly it was like, no, anything can get nominated now, and I don't think it's added anything to it. You know, now some people look at it as, well, now we honor, you know, possibly 8, 9, 10 movies. And I think, yeah, but that also means that you have, you know, 6 or 7, 8 losers now that don't get Best Picture, and most of them will be forgotten anyhow, just like when they had the five. A lot of people can't remember ones that were nominated. Even now, telling you Star Wars was nominated for Best Picture probably surprised a lot of you, thinking, what? Anyhow, the Academy has come out with some new things. They've been really worried lately about ratings. Academy Awards used to be one of the highest rated non-sports events on TV. But because of the way things have changed, how people watch things, going back to like streaming and stuff, the Academy Awards have lost their luster and the ratings have been going down. Some of the reasons given are the telecast is too long. Some people say that the back in when I was younger, a lot of the award, like when people won, they'd go up and give their speeches, and they'd always like, they would be really, you know, I'd like to thank my parents for supporting me and stuff, but now it's very political. Before, in the past, it used to be political, like one, you might get the odd speech, but now everybody has an agenda to push, and a lot of people say that they're just turned off by that. And other people have just said that, you know, the movies are so obscure. You know, some movie fans will go out and try to see all these movies, and then others are just like, well, they don't nominate really big hit films. Like every once in a while you get a Mad Max Fury Road in there or something, but you know, a lot of people just said, you know, it's not really a representation of what's, you know, the best of Hollywood anymore. And so a lot of people, you know, didn't watch the Oscars, and the ratings have been plummeting. So ABC, who's had the Oscars ever since I can remember, even as a kid, I think ABC was always the Oscar station, has desperately tried to come up with ways to get the ratings back. And they came up with a couple that I think are actually going to help a little bit, but then they hit you with a big one that I think is actually going to hurt the Oscars more than... I could be wrong, though. This is just my opinion. But anyhow, a couple of years after they said that they were going to give a Best Animation for Best Movie. Now, at this time, Beauty and the Beast became the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture. And if I recall, there were only five awards, and Beauty and the Beast was one of them. And so that was like a heyday. Then other movies like Up and stuff got nominations, but they were when they had like the 9 nominations or something. So they wanted to help that. But a lot of people secretly thought that That was ABC. Now, keep in mind, ABC here is run by Disney. And so Disney doesn't win a lot of Oscars because they don't concentrate on a lot of smaller films. They're all about blockbusters and animated. And, you know, a couple of years back, and we're going like decades, you know, they used to have small things like Hollywood Pictures and Touchstone, which would do a lot of smaller movies. But they don't seem to get into that as much anymore, as far as I know. So anyhow, a lot of people said when the animated thing came out, Disney always does well. Pixar, Disney Animation. And so they thought that a lot of people were skeptical because they said, okay, we've already shown that movies like Beauty and the Beast and Up can get nominated if they truly are one of the best of the year. People will vote for them. But what happened was they put the animation category, which I was another one I was not a fan of, and a lot of people claim that Disney put it in order to get an Oscar. Because Pixar, you know, their movies, although I haven't been the biggest fan of a lot of them lately, people still rave about them and they get some of the highest scores. So since they put that in, Disney has won several Oscars because of that category. So some of the things they've implemented that I do agree with that I think would be good is they want to cap the Oscars at 3 hours. They want to put it at 3 hours so that no matter what. Now, some people said, well, that's going to be hard with that, but they're going to do it. And, you know, you look at other shows like the Golden Globes or MTV Video, you know, their movie awards. Now, some people say you can't put the Academy Awards with trite like that, but they can always get their telecast in at a reasonable time. So people know that this is when I'm going to start watching and I can go to bed at this time. So they are going to try their best to get it in a 3-hour period. One of the ways they're going to deal with this is they're going to give away some of the nominations, or some of the categories will be given away during the commercial breaks. Now, you don't think you're going to lose like Best Picture or Best Director. This is going to be the short documentary, short live feature, maybe the editing awards, music and stuff. But basically they're going to give them out and then they're going to still film them and then put like a montage, kind of like what they do with the technical awards, where they always have that moment where they said, well, we gave out our technical awards last night, but they're not important enough to show in the telecast, but here's who won what. And then they go through and list them all. So what they're going to do is, so like, you know, Best Documentary Short will be given out while people are watching, you know, going for their pee breaks and going to get their booze. And then basically they're going to show, you know, later. Oh, by the way, this one short documentary film, here's a quick clip. So that's one of the ways they're going to do it. They're also pushing the awards date up, which means now the Academy Awards are the last real main award show for movies to give out. Like, they've given out all the Golden Globes, they've given out the, you know, the producers, the directors, the Actors Guild. And so what they're going to do is they're going to push that up earlier. And so it's not going to be so far at the end of February. It's going to be in the middle of February. Some people have complained that, you know, if you're an avid fan, you know, and you're trying to get out to see these things. Now, if you live in a big city like Toronto or New York City, you can go see these movies. But in Hamilton, it's almost hard to see all the things because, you know, a couple of Cineplexes will be nice enough to bring them in. Maybe sometimes even the Hamilton Art Gallery picks them in. But a lot of times you don't really get to see some of these movies. So you got to look for them or drive ludicrously far just to get to a theater that's playing them. So some people said, well, we sometimes have to see 9 films. And sometimes you want to see other ones, like, they might not have got the Best Picture, but they might have got lots of acting awards or writing or something. So you want to see some of those other ones. You don't have as much time, but I still think this is good. It's still going to be one of the last award shows to give things out. And, you know, it'll still have its luster and stuff. Another thing they want to do is, you know, just tighten it all up pretty nice in a nice, neat bow. But then they hit with this that has Hollywood up in arms. I was up in arms too, but I said, why should I be up in arms? It's almost been 20 years since I've stopped watching the Academy Awards. But they announced that they are going to give away a new award, and the category is Best Popular Film. And as soon as they announced this, I swear every movie news show or internet magazine or whatever went with breaking news, and most of Hollywood thought this was the most asinine thing. This means that this is almost kind of like the best kiss that, you know, MTV Movie Awards never claims to be like, you know, we deal with the best in everything. You know, they have things like best fight sequence, best couple, best, you know, kiss. The fact that there's going to be like 7 to 9 to 10 movies competing for Best Picture, and now they're going to have a new category for a movie that made a lot of money. Now, in the past, there has been a lot of big budget movies that have gotten Oscar nominations. As I said, Star Wars did. I'm pretty sure E.T. did. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark did. More recently, something like Mad Max Fury Road is. But a lot of people have been disturbed since Dark Knight didn't get a nomination and felt it should have. Last year, Logan was the first comic book movie to get a screenplay adaptation. Now, some people say this is small, but you got to remember, this is pretty big. Earlier this year, the Oscar Academy decided to send out more more welcoming invites to people so they can vote. A whole bunch of new people, and a lot of people of like diversity and color and race and gender were sent invites in order to give it a fuller experience. And we have seen a lot more diversity in the categories and stuff. There's a lot more, you know, thing, but we can still see more there. You know, we've seen people, you know, of color, but we haven't, you know, we still could see some Hispanics or Asians or, you know, so we can still always improve in that. But what's happening now is a lot of people are saying it's not really for the best of the best. Now, when you give this is the best picture of the year, according to the Academy, there's going to be this other category that's, oh, well, this was a popular film. So, you know that movie Shape of Water that won, not many people saw it, but people loved it that did? Well, who cares? Because we have a popular film, so now a movie like Wonder Woman or something could have been nominated. Now, some people are okay with that. Maybe that would be a good thing. But basically, they're saying the 9 movies that we're calling the best of the best, they're not going to get, 8 of them are not going to get awards, but this one, because it made a lot of money, did. Now, I think even if they labeled it something like a movie that caused a created, like a cultural impact. So, like a movie like Wonder Woman could get a special award for cultural impact because, you know, we got a woman superhero film that actually critics liked, audiences liked, and it became a big, massive hit, changing the thing. It had a female director. It opened the way for other female directors to get more. You know, we started seeing more female directors were getting work, like not even in just movies, but in TV. So, you know, I could see it, but because they called it most popular film, it just sounds like the movie that made the most money. Now, once again, ABC is the one who wants these changes. They were the ones because they're worried about the ratings, and no network should put something. I know the Academy Awards are just a popularity contest and they're pompous, but a lot of movie fans still enjoy it. And when you add a category like most popular film, it basically, why don't they just break it down now? The Golden Globes gets a lot of crap for having best picture and then best comedy or musical. And a lot of times movies that aren't even comedies or musical get nominated in this because they couldn't get a spot in the top 5 for the Golden Globes. Golden Globes have always been a thing, but at least theirs makes sense. They say best drama film and then best thing. So, you know, I think they would have even been better to go, this is the best sci-fi movie, this is the best comedy, this is the best, you know. But now we're dealing with the People's Choice Award. But ABC wanted these, and since Disney owns ABC, Disney didn't stop them from saying, no, don't do that. Why? Because if you look at the top movies that have made money this year, most of them are owned by Disney. Another chance for getting Disney some prestige and some gold. I know it's not real gold, but it still looks good when Disney can say, we have gotten this many Academy Awards. Back in the golden days, they used to have short films, you know, short animated films. You know, you could see a Mickey Mouse cartoon or a Winnie the Pooh short that was nominated and stuff. But they don't get that anymore, except now in the animated they certainly do. And Pixar's been nominated for some of their shorts many times. But anyhow, a lot of people think this push is for Black Panther, because Black Panther obviously was a big box office hit. It became a thing, and it's culturally has changed things. You know, it was, you know, a black superhero that got its first movie and showed that people wanted this. They were hungry for it. It was a good film. You know, a black director. So as in Wonder Woman, but they're thinking that they thing. Now, if Black Panther is as good as they say it was, they shouldn't worry about it, because Black Panther should be up like all the other movies and get a shot at hitting the top, you know, the average game, and see if they make it in the top nine. But because Disney and ABC want a little push, they've now pushed this new category to the forefront, and I think it just makes the Academy look like a joke. Now, that's just my personal opinion. You might actually like it, and that's fine. Let me know if you do. But the truth of the matter is that Hollywood is seeing this as, you can't take the Academy seriously when we have this little token award, like saying, these are the nine best films. Only one of them is going to get an award, but those other eight are not. But this one film, because it made a lot of money and people went to go see it, is not. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And yeah, the Academy Awards, when people dress up in the clothes, and I know you secretly love when you see the red carpet and you see who's wearing what, and you can, like, diss, oh my God, look at what Nicole Kidman's wearing, or, you know, Jennifer Lawrence or something like that. Yeah, I know you secretly love that. But anyhow, that's going to be gone now because of the fact that, you know, now they're adding categories that are more pandering to, like, oh, well, maybe more people will watch it if, you know, Infinity War is going up against, you know, A Quiet Place, or you know, going up. You know, last year Get Out was a small little horror film that wound up getting a nomination for Best Picture. Now, I didn't agree with it, but it made it. Why did it make it? Because it was considered one of the best of the year. It worked hard for it, but now it doesn't have to, because it could compete in the most popular film. Not to mention, just like the animated, you could be the most popular. So Black Panther could get a nomination, no problem. In fact, it's probably guaranteed to get one, probably guaranteed to win. It probably would beat Infinity War. But Black Panther could also get a nomination in the Best Picture, but it kind of diminishes it because it's going to already get the other one. I just think it's a mess, and I think it's the Oscars struggling to be pertinent still, and it's really sad that it's come down to that. Anyhow, let me know what you think, you know. I always like hearing from you. I don't get enough comments, and I know I don't have a lot of listeners, and I'm still working to get my 17 loyal ones back, but, you know, let me know what you think. Did you see Christopher Robin? Did you like it? Do you think I'm totally wrong on binge-watching, you know? Kick my ass for not liking Teen Titans Go. Tell me to go watch a couple episodes, you know? Do you like the changes the Academy's making? Let me hear from you. I'd love to. Anyhow, I had a great time. I will be back. I'm hoping to get a co-host in here soon. It's been a couple of weeks, and I really want to have somebody here. So stick around for that, and you have a great day, and I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon.